So page 1032, Luke chapter 5. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little while from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Sitting down was a normal way of speaking in those days. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. It starts off with that phrase, doesn't it? One day he was by the shore. So there's a couple of boats, a large crowd coming to listen to what he had to say. And he gets into one of these boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter. Then Jesus went on to speak to all who are listening about the kingdom of God, about the way to heaven, and about how to find peace with God. Well, I'm going to put up on the board five words. First the cross. And then five words beginning with F. And the first one is failed. Peter had failed. Now what does that mean? I know some of you had exams and you're wondering whether you're going to fail, pass or fail. You don't know yet. But we're not talking about the fact that Peter failed his maths exam or failed exams. Not at all. He didn't failed to be the fisherman of the year either. It wasn't something like that. No, he failed as a person. Because remember those words we read? Peter said to Jesus, didn't he? "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." So why did he say, "I'm a sinful man" in that situation? He sees himself as somebody who has failed. He used to think he was fine. He thought perhaps he was quite a good person. And then Jesus came. And with Jesus, who is the Holy One, suddenly he saw himself differently. That changed everything. He failed in who he was to be as a person. Failed in his choices. Failed in his life. And that's why often people don't want to hear about Jesus, because it confronts who we are as a person. Here we have a perfect life before us in Jesus, the Holy One, who had no sin, speaking about holiness, and yet I'm so far from him. It makes me feel unclean and dirty and sinful. And that's exactly how Peter felt on that afternoon. Well, Jesus had said, hadn't he, when he'd finished speaking, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." So, why are we hearing about this? Did Jesus come to speak and teach about fishing? Well, it's daytime, and on this lake, deep water is not the place to catch the fish. You don't do it during daytime. You don't catch fish in deep water. Everybody knows that, don't you? Okay? So, nighttime is the time to catch fish, and it's shallow water where it's warm. Everybody knows that. So, Peter's being challenged here, isn't he? These seasoned fishermen, they knew what they thought they should be doing. They were the experts. And Simon Peter answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, nothing. Ever thought I can do it? I can cope, I can manage, I can bring the results. We don't need help." Well, Peter had heard Jesus' words and decided to trust this carpenter when he was talking about fishing. Didn't seem to make sense, but he trusted Jesus. Trusting Jesus on one level never seems to make sense, but he knows what he's doing. And therefore Peter says, "Because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. I mean, just think about that for a moment. Isn't that amazing? I mean, how many fish didn't even make it into the boats because their nets broke? And when they did put them into both boats, it wasn't as if the boats were full of water. They were full of fish, which is lighter than water. And so many fish, the boats were going to sink. I mean, how many fish, how high up do you think they were in the boat for it to sink? Right up to the top, overflowing. It's incredible, isn't it? See, when Jesus does something, he does it amazingly, much more than we can imagine. So this carpenter has told them how to fish because it is his command. Jesus can do it. So Jesus is teaching a very simple lesson here. Peter, without me, you can do nothing. We had that bit earlier. But with me, expect amazing results. So he made that great discovery that day, didn't he? And the thing is, it hit Peter's pride head on. You're trying to make something work, but it's fail, fail, fail. Relationships, fail. Bad habits, can't get rid of them. Bad language, just stuck, can't seem to shake it off. So often, life's full of things which are fail, fail, and fail. But Peter is humbled. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, I say it again, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Well, that is the way to come to know Jesus, actually. Only a person who's going to beat his chest and say, "I'm a sinful man, have mercy on me," will ever receive anything from God. So the next word is forgiven. Oh, you might say, I didn't see anything about forgiveness in this passage. Well, it's not there. But Peter was forgiven. In fact, later on it says that Peter was made clean. And God can't use anybody who is not made clean. That's what Jesus came to do, is to make people clean and fit to serve him. So are you forgiven? Can you speak of when it happened? Do you know that? If you've not yet turned to Christ to be made clean for forgiveness, that's the same thing, then don't think that he's going to be listening to your prayers or involved in your life. That's why sometimes people come up to me and other Christians and say, "Will you pray for A, B, and C?" Why don't you pray? Because I'm not sure whether God's really listening. If we're not forgiven and we're still in our sin, he won't be. He'll only listen to one prayer. "Have mercy on me, a sinner." No good asking for other things if we're not right with God. If we're not right with God, he's not going to be guiding your life. You're going to be away from God, far away from God. So that is what the cross is all about. That's why Jesus Christ came into this world, so that people could be forgiven. And he was the one who's rejected and spat upon and despised and hated. And yet he chose to continue on with the cross because of his love for God the Father and for those who receive it. And another word beginning with F. The last thing he said on the cross was, "It is finished." Finished. He completely satisfied God's anger against every sinner who comes to him. So what that means is you may have done many, many things wrong. And you might think, "Well, God can never forgive me." But he can. And he has done. if you trust in him. Maybe you're thinking, my debt is too big. I can never expect anyone else to help me with it. But Jesus can. He certainly can. So whatever you've done, he can clear it away. And that's why it's called good news, wonderful news, that we can find peace with God, whoever we are. And I'm often struck, you know, Moses was a murderer, David was a murderer, Paul was a murderer, and yet these people knew forgiveness. So his blood is sufficient to make us clean. And the next thing, of course, once we've been made clean, we don't just go back to the old way. We follow him. Jesus, on that afternoon, called Peter and others to leave what they were doing and to follow him. So Jesus calls you in exactly the same way to a life of holiness. He calls you to a life separate from those old ways and the ways of other people around you. He calls you to a holy life with him. That is the life that will take you to heaven, serving Jesus Christ as Lord and Master. And that's why Jesus said to Peter, don't be afraid, from now on you will catch men. You see, Peter wasn't the best fisherman, but he was very good at catching men. He was going to catch men. That was his life's work. And the great thing is about following Jesus is he sets us to work. He gives us something really important to do, to go and make disciples. And that's basically to go and fish for men, women, boys and girls. Are you doing that? If you're not fishing for men, then you need to be fished for. People need to come and fish for you. And then you can be fishers of others. So we're either one or the other. It's a bit like when we play British Bulldogs over in the park. We try and catch you, you see. Vanessa and I probably start off trying to catch you. And once you're caught, you change sides. And then you become those who catch others. Until everyone's caught. And that's the whole point of the work of Christians in this world, is to catch others. Once you're caught, then you will be catching others that you know. And it goes on and on. And that leads us finally to another one. Faith. Okay. The great thing about following is it gives us a few more F's as well. It gives us a full life. It gives us a future. It gives us fulfillment. And we can finish well. Lots of F's I could put up here, but I've just put those five. Okay. Finally, we live by faith. Don't see him, but we live by faith. And it's not about feelings. Faith is being confident in what Christ did in history and finding that experience in my own life by his Spirit. Saving faith shows in following Jesus. So it says, doesn't it, finally, verse 11, they pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything, not some things, everything, and followed him. Through the thick and the thin, through the hardships, I will still go his way and do what he wants me to do. So some of you may have seen this before, and I think one of the problems with faith is that we misunderstand faith. It's such a common word, isn't it? So talk about people of faith or faith or people having faith. Well, here are three steps as well. Heading up a mountain, okay? The middle one is faith. There's the facts of what Jesus did in history years ago, out there. And then it's my feelings, bobbing up and down. In fact, somebody said to me recently, the whole family, they bob up and down around one person in the family. We bob up and down with our feelings, don't we? And the problem is, you see, when our feelings take a fall, our faith can take a fall, and it needs facts to help us back up again. And when our faith is based on fact, then our feelings will start to fall into place a bit better as well. So, if your faith, it's not a perfect illustration because they're tied together, but if your faith is very close to your feelings, your faith will bob up and down. But if your faith is very close to fact, he's steady. Then your faith will be steady. And you will be confident through all the thicks and thins, all the things that the Lord wants you to do. You will stand firm. And you will be a faithful man, woman, boy or girl. And you will be heading to heaven. So, think about where your faith is. Is it here and there? A bit of this and I'm not quite sure? I wonder if it's a little bit too connected with another of feelings here. But it should be with fact. Okay. Rock solid faith based on fact. Okay, so I hope that's your faith. So we're going to finish there. And if you want to come talk to us, any of us afterwards, then please do so. We're going to sing a hymn and then stay on for refreshments after that. So let's stand and sing our final hymn, which is actually up on the screen. Yeah.